A Pharisee invited Jesus to dine with him. And he entered the Pharisee's house and reclined at table. Now there was a sinful woman in the city who learned that he was at table in the house of the Pharisee. Bringing an alabaster flask of anointment, she stood behind him at his feet, weeping, and began to bathe his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair and kissed them and anointed them with the ointment. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, that she is a sinner." Jesus said to him in reply, "Simon, I have something to say to you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two people were in debt to a certain creditor. One owed 500 days' wages. The other owed 50. Since they were unable to repay the debt, he forgave it for both. Which of them will love him more?" Simon said in reply, "The one, I suppose, whose larger debt was forgiven." He said to him, "You have judged rightly." Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? When I entered your house, you did not give me water for my feet, but she has bathed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but she has not ceased kissing my feet since the time I entered. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with ointment. So I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven because she has shown great love. But the one to whom little is forgiven loves little." He said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The others at table said to themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" But he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Afterward, he journeyed from one town and village to another, preaching and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. Accompanying him were the 12 and some women who had been cured of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, Joanna, the wife of Herod's steward Chuza, Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their resources. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Good morning. Today I want to open up the gospel passage for you. The scene that's taking place is in the courtyard of the house of Simon the Pharisee. The houses of people who were well-to-do in the time of Jesus were often built in a square fashion around a square open courtyard. Usually they had a garden there and maybe a fountain. And it was in the courtyard area that oftentimes they would eat their meals when the weather was warm, because they didn't have, obviously, air conditioning like we do. So it would have been cooler out in the courtyard. It was a custom that when a rabbi was at meal in such a house, all kinds of people were free to enter his courtyard. And while they ate their meals, they would talk theology, they would talk about God, and people would glean little messages from those Pharisees. And so that would explain the presence of how this woman of ill repute, how she arrived on the scene and was in the courtyard of this Pharisee. It was a custom that when a guest entered such a house, that three things were usually done. The host had an obligation to perform these things out of a sense of custom and kindness. First, they would place a hand on the person's shoulder and give them a kiss of peace. It was a mark of respect which would never have been omitted of a distinguished rabbi. The roads were only dust tracks. They didn't have the pavement and concrete that we have today. So oftentimes when you walked along these roads, your feet became just layered and covered in dust, you can only imagine. And so always there was cool water available, and it was the host's responsibility, maybe through a servant, to pour this water over the feet of all of his guests to wash them clean of the dust and dirt from the road. It was also a custom that either a pinch of incense would be burned or a drop of aromatic oil would be placed on the person's head as a sign of welcome. And this is what, in the time of Jesus, good manners demanded of a host. Simon was a Pharisee. He was called one of the separated ones. He was a holy one. Why should such a man invite Jesus into his house at all? And I think there's three possible reasons why did Simon invite Jesus into his house. The first reason is it's possible that he was a sympathizer of Jesus. After all the arguments he's probably heard from other Pharisees, maybe he was a sympathizer. Maybe he admired Jesus. We don't really know. But it seems that the atmosphere of discourtesy that he shows to Jesus, omitting the kiss of peace, omitting the washing of his feet, or even the anointing of his head, makes it very unlikely. If he were a sympathizer or attracted to Jesus, he wouldn't have omitted those courtesies. It could be possible that this Pharisee, Simon, had invited Jesus with the deliberate intention of enticing him into some word or action that might have made him, put him in a situation where he could have charged him with a crime or heresy. And so perhaps he was trying to trap Jesus through word or example. Again, it's unlikely because even though he omits the signs of courtesy, he does refer to Jesus as rabbi, which means teacher. And so what a lot of the theologians believe is that most likely, the third reason, Simon was a collector of celebrities. He was a curiosity seeker. And it wasn't that he had trust or belief in all of Jesus' teaching, but rather he was curious. And he wanted just to see who Jesus was. He wanted maybe to test him out. He wanted to have the prestige of saying, oh yeah, I had him in my house. It would perhaps best explain the strange combination of a certain respect, the title rabbi that he gave to Jesus, but the omission also of the usual courtesies. So in the end, Simon was a man who was trying to patronize Jesus. Enter in the woman and contrast the difference. The woman, in the eyes of all the people there, she was a bad woman. She was notorious. They considered her a prostitute. No doubt she had listened to Jesus speak, maybe from the edge of the crowd, and maybe she had glimpses of him and knew that he had a hand that could lift her out of the mire and darkness of her own ways. Around her neck she wore, like all Jewish women, a little vial of concentrated ointment, concentrated perfume. They were called alabasters. They were very costly. And she wished to pour this on Jesus' feet, for it was all she really had to offer. But as she saw him, the tears fell upon his feet. For a Jewish woman to appear with her hair unbound was an act of the greatest immodesty. On her wedding day, a woman would bound up her hair, and she would never appear in public with her hair unbound again. The fact that this woman loosened her long hair in public showed how she had forgotten that everyone was there, and for her, it was only her and Jesus. I think the story, if we look at it as a whole, demonstrates a kind of contrast between the two attitudes of the heart and mind, between that of Simon the Pharisee and this desperate, sinful woman. Simon, really, was conscious of no need, and therefore he felt no real love for Jesus, and he did not receive forgiveness. Simon's impression of himself was probably that he was a good man in the sight of all, even in the sight of God. The woman, on the other hand, was conscious of nothing else than a desperate need, and therefore she was overwhelmed with love for him who could supply the mercy and forgiveness that she wanted so desperately. The one thing I think that shuts a man off from God is the idea of self-sufficiency. I don't really need God. It's the strange thing that the better a man is, the more he feels his own sin. Maybe you've experienced this in your own life. Maybe you know somebody who goes to church all the time and seems to go to a confession, you know, once a month or even more, and you begin to wonder, why are they going to confession so often? I mean, they're a good person. But isn't it strange that the more a person is close to God, the more they recognize their desperate need for his mercy and forgiveness? I remember as a seminarian, I heard that Pope John Paul II, now Saint John Paul II, would go to confession how often? Weekly. I still don't go to confession weekly. And I know he was a much holier man than I am. And so I think it's true that the holier or the closer someone is to God, the more desperately they recognize their need for God. Maybe if you've ever driven your car at night, you may smack into 1,000 little bugs on your windshield. But at night, the windshield looks pretty clean, doesn't it? But when the sun comes up and that first ray of sun hits your windshield, you realize how dirty it is. And I think it's true for the soul too. When the soul lives in a dark place, we think everything is great. There's no need for forgiveness. But when we're exposed to the light of the gospel, when we're exposed to God's truth, we recognize all of these imperfections and we recognize how desperately we need Jesus in our life. We need his mercy and forgiveness. Paul, the great convert to Christianity, the great missionary to the Gentiles, he would speak of himself as the greatest of all the sinners. St. Francis of Assisi would say of himself, "There is nowhere a more wretched and more miserable sinner than I am." It is true to say that the greatest of sins is to be conscious of no sin at all. But a sense of need, on the other hand, will open the door to the forgiveness of God, will open the floodgate of mercy to the sinner, will open the floodgate of graces into a person's life. Because God is love, and love's greatest glory is to be received. Sometimes it breaks my heart when I hear somebody will say to me, "My husband doesn't let me come to church. My husband tells me I do too much at the church, and so I need to stay away from the church for a little bit." It breaks my heart because what I see is the person who desperately loves Jesus wants to spend time with him and maybe makes the other feel guilty or the other doesn't feel that sense of need also. And so when we come to Mass, I think it shows your desire, your desperate wanting to get close to Jesus. If it doesn't, it should. I remember when I was a kid, I mean, it was always instilled in me, you went to church on Sunday, whatever happened. And I remember one time going on vacation with another family, with a friend, and they weren't going to go to church on Sunday. I freaked out. I was like, I've got to go to church. I'm going to go walk there by myself, and I'll probably get run over by a car or get lost, but I got to go to the church. And they were like, what's the big deal? What's the big deal? I said, I need to go to church. I didn't realize it at the time. I was just a teenager, but I was displaying for them a desperate need to be with Jesus and to come to church. And I think it should be our attitude when we come to church, not that we come out of a sense of, I have to do this. You know, if I don't do this, I'll get in trouble. But rather, I need to see Jesus. I need to receive his body, blood, soul, and divinity. I'm tempted so many times during the week. I desperately need Jesus. That desperateness, that desperate longing is what opens the floodgate of his forgiveness, of his love, and graces working in your life. The same happens when we come to confession. A recognition of our desperate need for Jesus opens the floodgate of that forgiveness, opens the floodgate of grace to break in and work in your lives. I think we can all think of our own lives in light of this gospel and ask the question, am I more like Simon the Pharisee? Am I more like him? Or am I more like this desperate woman? Mindful that I am a sinner and desperately need Jesus? Am I a beggar in the eyes of God? Or do I look at myself as, you know what, I'm good enough. I'm good than most of the other guys out there. Some people don't go to church. I go every once in a while or whatever the case may be. And I'm a pretty good person that don't really need to go to confession, maybe once a year. And so I think it's a good exercise for us to compare ourselves. You know, if somebody else, not maybe not yourself, you might be biased, but somebody else looking at your life, how would they describe you? Somebody who maybe doesn't know you very well, would they put you in the category you're over here with Simon the Pharisee, or would they put you in the category of this woman, desperately wanting, needing Jesus' love and forgiveness? I pray that I would always be that desperate woman. I imagine myself at the feet of Jesus. What does that feel like? To be at his feet, and I hope that I would have enough tears to make his feet wet. I know I don't have enough hair, but wanting desperately to be close to Jesus, that's the place that we need to be. That's the place where we receive real forgiveness. That's the place where we experience God's grace breaking open into our lives. Amen.